Well, before we get started today into the message, there's some things that I'd like to be able to speak clearly with you about. And before I do that, I'd really like to pray and welcome the presence of the Lord into this message and His leading and His guiding in this moment. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you're doing in it, Lord. I thank you for how you're leading us and how you're guiding us, Lord. I ask for your grace in this moment. Holy Spirit, I ask for your presence to be here with us. Ask for wisdom and revelation that you would guide my words. Lord, I'm submitted and I'm surrendered to you. Jesus, thank you for making a way for us. We thank you for your grace. I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. I welcome your peace here today. In our hearts, Lord. And in your name, I pray. Amen. I would like to take a pause at this moment here at the introduction of this message to address a couple of things that have been coming up and are needing addressing here within our Father's house. And I want to start firstly by restating our vision statement here, because it is the governing statement for us. It tells us really where we're going. The type of activity that we are involving ourselves in really resides within the vision statement. And so here it is. We want to see a hurting world healed. We want to see people launched into their destiny. Within the first half of that statement is a context that allows us to recognize that we have been called to the ministry of reconciliation, where we reconcile men to God and to one another. So when we fall out of that unity that we have with one another, we have an obligation to the Lord, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And within the context of our Father's house, when there's chaos and there's turmoil and there's division, it's incumbent upon me as the shepherd to address it. Leaving it unaddressed doesn't help anybody. And so that responsibility lies with me, in particular when it's something that I have caused. So I'd like to do that here this morning, because there's a need for reconciliation within the body, and it has to be initiated by me. We live in a time and in a season where people are being carried away by their emotions. They're speaking out of their emotions, they're acting out of their emotions, and they're doing things that they wouldn't be doing otherwise by their good judgment. We see that happening outside of the church, and we even see it happening inside the church. And I'm here to confess to you that it's happened to me. Starting back at the Mother's Day message that I preached or gave here at our Father's house, I chose that day to speak out of my emotions against better judgment. It's ill-advised to speak out of your emotions. You tend to lack restraint. You tend to say things and do things that you wouldn't normally say or do. And you haven't had the time to properly process what it is that you're experiencing. I chose that day to speak out of my emotions. And the result of that has been that it's inflicted pain, caused confusion and chaos and turmoil inside us as a people. And because of my position as pastor, it's given others license to do the same. That's harmful to us. It's hurtful to us. And I'm responsible and accountable for my words and actions. Of particular displeasure to me in what I did that morning is that I ascribed motivations of the heart to men in the Ahmaud Arbery case that I have no way of validating or verifying. And this case is still playing out. We will see what the final outcome will be. But whatever it is, it does not justify me ascribing a motivation of their heart in that situation. It was inflammatory, and it was wrong of me to do. I confess that to you. I apologize, and I ask for your forgiveness for that and for, in general, for speaking and leading out of my emotions. We're all accountable for our words and our actions, but in particular for me as a pastor, my words and my actions bear a different weight in the hearts of those who are following us and who are following here and being a part of our Father's house. I don't want to lead that way. I owe you better, I owe the Lord better, and I'm accountable to Him in how I lead. I'm responsible for my actions, as we all are. And when we find out that we have made a mistake, where we have misstepped, it is important for us to own up to it, to repent from it, and turn back to the Lord and reestablish ourselves and realign ourselves firmly in who He is and who it is that we are representing, our Father in heaven. So I have been going about work since that time of trying to realign us and establish us in the Lord. In particular, this message here. But before I move forward, I do want to reiterate, I repent. I ask for your forgiveness as your pastor for speaking and leading out of my emotions. I owe you better than that. And I hope that you're able to find it in your heart to forgive me. I take this very seriously because I am accountable to the Lord, and I do not want to lead you astray. I'm a man who wants to see reconciliation take place and wants to see justice take place. But those are not going to happen coming from a place of being led by emotion. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Emotions in and of themselves are not bad, but we are not to be ruled by them. So I repent of that. And I choose to follow the Lord and to realign myself with His purposes and the principles that He has set forward for us to follow clearly in. Which brings me to my second point here. Several people have come to me over the past many weeks and brought to me their very valid concerns about where it is we are going in this season, where it is that I'm leading you. They have concerns about going down different directions that they see are led by darkness. Those are valid concerns. We're watching much in our culture, in our world, come unglued right now. It's troubling to witness. And so the concern that I'm leading us down that pathway, in particular when I've started from a place of emotion, is a valid concern. And I thank you for those who brought those concerns to me. It's important for me to hear those concerns from you, for us to process them together, because truly we are about keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And if I'm in error, then I need to come back into alignment with the Lord. What I am attempting to do in this particular series that I've been in is to reestablish and reaffirm us as the people of God with the principles from the kingdom that I understand and recognize within my experience at this point in time, my current level of revelation. What I understand is being relevant principles from the kingdom that we are to recognize in this season that speak to the darkness and the chaos that we are seeing here. These are not comprehensive of all kingdom principles. These are the things that I think are very relevant in this season because it is important for us to raise the standard of Christ in our hearts and also before one another, so that we can contrast systems of this world that people are pursuing at this time and say, we are to follow Christ and we're not to follow that. Now, as I've been building this, I've been trying to focus on those principles and bring them forward, because this isn't just about this time. It's about future times that we're going to see. And it's my intent for this series to be something that we can look back at historically as a mile marker and say, remember when we spoke about that? Because it still applies here. It was applicable in that season, and it's applicable in this season, and it's going to be applicable on into the future, because God doesn't change. And these principles are eternal. So we as the people of God must align ourselves with these principles. Now, in doing that, and in focusing on that, I have not disclosed to you elements that I think are important for you to hear at this point in time. I was hoping to wait till the end, but staying vague and unclear in this season isn't helping anybody, and that's on me. So I want to say to you today that I have been building up these principles. I have three more that I'm going to share in this message here today. And then next week, I'm going into comparing and contrasting those with the philosophy of Marxism. And in particular, taking that beyond and exposing the evils behind the organization and the movement of Black Lives Matter. We as the people of God need to be aware of schemes of the enemy, schemes of darkness that are coming forward in our culture that are not meant to bring about, truly meant to bring about, justice and reconciliation. People are being deceived right now. And it is important for us as Christians to recall who we are in Christ, how we stand in Christ, what we stand for, and not allow ourselves to be drawn into these movements of the culture that are truly seeking to overthrow our nation, the system of government that God has established here, and are antithetical to who we are in Christ. We have to be very careful in these times. We have to be very aware of what's going on there. And so I have been working to firmly establish us in kingdom principles, eternal principles, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we are in Christ. It's very important for us as the body of Christ in this season to be very clear on who it is that we are following and how it is that we are to stand in this time. So, with that, I ask that you forgive me for where I started in this. I repent, and I'm refocusing on the Lord. I've been talking for months now. This is a season of repentance, and I too need to repent and follow firmly after the Lord and firmly lead us towards Him. There are many things that are trying to distract us from Him, draw us away from Him, seek to have us align ourselves with their purposes and not His. We need to be firmly rooted in His purposes. At the other side of this series that we are in, after we've exposed those things and been able to stand them up and say, here's the kingdom principles, here's the principles of Marxism and Black Lives Matter, we need to make a decision individually. Each of us needs to make a decision about who it is that we're going to follow and how it is that we're going to follow. And on the other side of that, we're going to have a time of prayer and fasting and repentance before the Lord. Because our nation right now, is hanging in the balance. And we as the body of Christ have the answers. We carry with us the answers for everything that is dividing in our world and within the body of Christ. His name is Jesus. He is the answer for that which divides us. Always. He paid the price on the cross for every division to be overcome, for reconciliation to take place, for justice to take place. We need to be firmly rooted and founded in Him, set apart from what the world is doing. Now with that, I'd like to go into my message today. I've covered many topics in here in this time of going through this series, and they may feel fairly disjointed. When we start digging around in the roots of these other systems that we'll be talking about next week in Marxism and Black Lives Matter, you're going to see why we've been speaking about many of these topics. They seem disjointed. They don't even seem like they have always much to do with what we're talking about when we've been discussing racial reconciliation in the past. You might be surprised to find out why some of these are going to be discussed. Today, I'm going to be talking about three principles. One, how the family is the foundational building block of our society, or of society. The second one is that marriage is God-ordained. And thirdly, that it is God's design for our intimate relations to be between man and woman, male and female. We have to be clear about these things. So, I'm going to start off here with the first element, and that is the family is the foundational building block of society. I'm going to take us back into Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You may have noticed while I've been in this series that I've been reading a lot of scripture. I've been reading through a lot of scripture to us. I've done that very intentionally. It is important for us to be firmly rooted and founded in what is said within the Word of God. We as Christians need to see what's being said. It's important for us to understand where it is in context. And sometimes it's not just about the single line that we're reading. It's about the whole, well, it's not just about the single line we're reading. It's about the context of where it lands within that chapter and where that chapter lands within that book. It's important for us to understand where it's being said in history, within the greater drama that's being played out within Scripture. It's important for us to understand what type of Scripture we're talking about there. We need to have biblical literacy as Christians. And we are living in a time where it is extremely important for us to know what the Word of God says, because so many things are being shaken around us. We need to be holding firmly onto His Word and onto Him. So, I'm starting right now in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. If it's been frustrating that I've been reading through much scripture, I ask you to be patient with me and hear what the Word of God says. Read along. Take notes in your Bible. Take notes in a notebook. Get your Bible out or your Bible app. Highlight things that we're talking about. Go back and review them and read them and study them and ask the Lord to open them and reveal them to you. Because we need to have His Word deep down in our heart. Because there's going to be things that come up in our world and within our experience where we need to know where we are in the Lord, be firmly rooted and founded in Him. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is the fifth commandment of the ten. And there's some particular aspects about this commandment that hold relevance for how we move forward in history. God was giving the Israelites land, and He tells them, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So He's tying this commandment to the land, to the establishment of society, to the establishment of the culture that's going to be growing up in that land. And the first thing he tells them to do is to honor their father and their mother. Now, when you start to study the Ten Commandments and you look at the structure for how that's been laid out by the Lord, the first four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All of those have to do with our relationship with God. And we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. We're supposed to love him. And we're also supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? So the first four are about our actions towards God and our relationship with God. But the next six have to do with our relationship with one another, and it governs them. And the first one that comes forward, the fifth commandment, is honor thy father and thy mother, followed by thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet. All of those have to do with our relationships with one another. They govern our society. They govern our interactions with one another. But the foundational one, the first one that comes forward, is that we are to honor our father and our mother. Now, what this tells us is that that relationship between parent and child, both towards the male parent and the female parent, is important for the raising and the rearing of those individuals who are not going to be children forever, but they're going to grow up into adults who are going to do business, commerce, in society. They're going to be neighbors. They're going to be leaders. They're going to be those who are helping to run the culture, run the society that is there, and they need to be properly trained up in it. So as we're establishing society, God's about to put them into a land. He says the first thing you're supposed to do is to honor your father and your mother. And that's going to give you the ability to live long in the land that the Lord is giving you. In Leviticus 19, we see this again echoed here in verses 1 through 4. We see this. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" The next thing he says is this: "Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." The first thing he says: respect your mother and your father. Respect your mother and your father. You must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And then he says right after this, do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. We keep seeing this principle of honoring the father and the mother come up right at the beginning because it's foundational. It's the most basic building block of how society is supposed to function. We see this, Ephesians 6. Verses 1 through 4, we see Paul addresses this in Christian living. So now we're now in the New Testament times, and he's telling Christians how they're supposed to live in Ephesus there. He's telling us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then he quotes it, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." And then he says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, this is an interesting context here, because previously God's talking about our relationship with our father and our mother. But here we see Paul recognizing this, and then he goes to the father and tells the father, "Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, this is speaking to the representation we have as parents towards our children and helping them understand their relationship with the Lord. See, as father, you are building in an understanding for your children and what it means for them to relate to father. Because they're going to learn to relate to you, but they also have to learn to relate to their heavenly father. You're a shadow of that relationship. Your relationship is a shadow of that relationship, but that should be in the same continuum. The principles they learn from relating to you should be the principles that they're learning in relating to the Father. So you're not to exasperate them. You're not to exasperate them because our Father doesn't exasperate us. We have a loving Father. We have a very intentional Father. We have a Father who is caring. He is trustworthy. He is loving. He is powerful. He provides. He disciplines us. He does all of those things. He doesn't exasperate us. So we as parents are not to exasperate our children. Because why is it so important that that nuclear family is working well? Why is it so important that we learn to honor our fathers and our mother? Because we're learning how it is that we're supposed to respond to authority as adults. We're learning how it is that we're supposed to love people of both genders in that model there. How we're supposed to love men. How we're supposed to care for women. If we want our men to respect women, and we want our women to respect men, then they have to learn as their children to respect their mother and their father. It's very important. Their relationship with God is trained into them by the love and the discipline and the honor and the respect and the character of that father towards their sons and daughters. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Actually, I'm going to go to Malachi 1 verse 6 here. This is God speaking here. He says, "A son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me?" says the Lord Almighty. We see right here that God is referencing the principle of how we treat one another in an earthly sense, and that that is a shadow of who it is that he is and how we're to relate to him. If you do that down there with them, you certainly should be doing it here with me. You've learned that principle there. Why are you not demonstrating it with me? God's intention is for us to be trained in our earthly relationships so we know how it is that we're to be relating to him. Now, it's very important, and it was incredibly important within the Hebrew culture. In the Old Testament, we see it's very important. When God constructed the law, it was very important for them to honor their father and mother. And there's great recourse that took place if they did not. And let's look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. "If someone guilty of a capital offense is put to death and their body is exposed on a pole, you must not leave the body hanging on the pole overnight." That's the wrong verse. Here it is, Deuteronomy 27:16. "Cursed is anyone who dishonors their father or mother." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." In Ezekiel 22, verses 6 through 7, we see him say this: "See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. In you they have treated the father and mother with contempt. In you they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow." So here we see there in Deuteronomy that cursed is anyone who dishonors their father and the mother. All the people shall say amen. All the people should recognize that it's a curse to dishonor your father and your mother. And what we see when that takes place all the way up to the highest levels there, we see princes of Israel that are using their power to shed blood. They've not learned how to rule appropriately because they were not trained, because they have treated their father and mother with contempt, and they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. That's very bad for that to take place, for them to oppress the foreigner and mistreat the fatherless and the widow. Why? Because that's not the character of the culture and the society that God was building and constructing, because it's outside of his heart. We see in Exodus chapter 22, verses 21 through 22, we see this. Do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. You're supposed to be treating others how you would like to be treated. And then he says this, do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with a sword. Your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless. So there was great punishment that was to take place by God towards those who had taken advantage of the widow and the fatherless. We're not to oppress foreigners. We're not to take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. God takes up their cause. We are to take up their cause. And so when we see that there are those that have not learned to honor their father and their mother, they have not been trained as how they are supposed to in society, and society starts to break down, God's intention for that society, the characteristics and the quality that were supposed to come forward in that culture don't end up coming forward because at the base, they're not honoring their father and their mother. They're treating them with contempt. And those that should be ruling for the benefit of others are not doing so. They're ruling for the benefit of themselves. And God will do justice in that matter. The next point that we have here. Marriage is God ordained. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. I believe this is probably the third time that I'm reading this in the context of this series. It's an important one, all the way back at the beginning. It's important for us to recognize what God's initial intent and what his initial design was, because that gives us a clear understanding of what it was that God was doing. So we're going back here into Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. This is where we're going to be seeing that marriage is God ordained. We're going to talk here about this second principle, and that is that marriage is God ordained. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, we see it say this, and it's important for us to see what God was doing very back at the very beginning, so we understand his intent as he's moving forward. We get a clear picture of that. God's intent is very important. His design is very important. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. He had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. She came out of him, and they returned together, and they are one flesh." Now, this concept of them being one flesh and being united is a really, really important concept. On down through society, as we have diverted and diverged from what God initially designed here and developed between Adam and Eve, where the two would become one, which is still true, we in society have seen as a contractual agreement. And Jesus talks about this on down into Matthew there, where he brings up the issue of divorce. This isn't just a contractual agreement.